And now we're off to Mars. Let's take a listen.
InSight. Heading to Mars, it's InSight. For a spacecraft pretty light. It launched from the west coast, not Florida like most. After 300 million miles, safe landing will bring lots of smiles. Lyle Tavernier, JPL Education Specialist.
And that little poem was read by Southern FM's very own Judith Vanell. Well, on October the 5th, we here on the Space Show reported that the InSight lander on Mars had detected meteors in the atmosphere of Mars and the seismic signals from their crater-forming impacts. Now, one of the main goals of the InSight mission is to use Mars quakes to probe the interior structure of the planet.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bruce Bannard. I'm the principal investigator of the InSight mission. I'm speaking to you here today from Lockheed Martin Space, where the Spacecraft Operations Center is located. InSight has been on the surface of Mars since November of 2018, listening with its seismometer and various other instruments, weather instruments and so forth, to what the goings on Mars. And we're here today to talk about a new discovery that we're really excited about in terms of the first time that impact's actually been observed as it happened by a seismometer and then observed also from space by the orbital cameras.
Detecting meteors was not part of the science plan. Last December 24, InSight recorded a magnitude 4 Mars quake, one of the largest detected during the mission. Since landing in November of 2018, InSight has detected 1,318 Mars quakes. But the December 24 quake was the first to have surface waves. Now, these are a kind of seismic wave that ripples along the top of the planet's crust.
And what you've experienced there is the first bulge, and you can see in the image, was the P wave coming in, the first wave that comes from any seismic event, and then the big bulge there is the S wave, and then buried in that is actually the surface wave, which is one of the real interesting findings from this new event.
Now take a listen, sped up 100 times to make the signal audible to humans. Well, that Mars quake might well have joined the 1,300 other recordings in the InSight catalogue, except for one thing. Scientists working at Marlin Space Science Systems in San Diego, California, were analysing images taken by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter on February the 11th this year. Well, nothing unusual about that. They have been doing it for more than 16 years. The orbiter takes about 5,000 images each year. Now, one of the things the eagle-eyed scientists are on the lookout for are new craters on Mars. Over the years, quite a few, mostly small ones, have been spotted.
So CTXN has been looking for these ever since MRO went into orbit about 16 years ago. Lily can tell you more about the CTX process to find them. But since then, we found about 1,200 new impacts. Sometimes there's a couple craters there. Sometimes there's just one. But again, they're much, much smaller than this one.
Yeah, indeed. We relatively regularly do find them, but again, they are much, much smaller, and they, on our CTX field of view, they look like a little smudges. So when we compare to all the previous data sets, we're looking for that change. And sometimes we see what might be looks like a fresh crater, but then if we look at all the previous data sets and we find that, say, previous image was taken 3 years ago, oh, it's still there, and then 5 years ago. And if that's all the previous images we have, we can call them a fresh crater.
But what they saw on February the 11th was most unusual. One of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter cameras, the Mars Color Imager, produces daily maps of the entire planet. Another camera, the Context camera, provides black and white, medium resolution images, but of limited areas and infrequently. Well, it was Marlin's Lilia Posilova who spied the telltale signs of a new impact crater in the black and white Context camera image. By calling up an earlier image of the same area, she was able to confirm that this was a new crater.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lilia Posilova, and I work at Mailin Space Science Systems. We design, build, and operate cameras on spacecraft. I oversee operations of CTX, Context, and MARSI, Mars Color Imager, on board of MRO, Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter spacecraft. In December of last year, a meteoroid struck Mars and created the largest fresh impact crater we have observed in 16 years of MRO mission. When we first saw this image, we were extremely excited. This was nothing like we've seen before. It took entire view of the CTX image. It's a 30 kilometers width, and even we needed to take two more images to the on the sides to capture the entire perturbance area. We do see regularly small craters with CT in our CTX field of view. And how does it do? How do we do it? We acquire CTX images based on our various scientific objectives, and we inspect them for any changes. And typically what we see, it will be like a little smudge, and then we compare to all the available previously data sets to confirm that it is fresh or not fresh crater. And typically they are on the size of up to 20 feet, small craters, and time constraint we can do few years, maybe occasionally down to 1 year. The perturbance that this impactor created was so large that we thought maybe we could see it in our other camera view, weather camera, but it takes daily global images of Mars. On the right, you see feature that created by this impactor. And to see that strong of a signal in that camera view, it's huge, very rare. We were able to time constrain this impact down to about a day, slightly over 24 hours. And then I recall that InSight reported back in December that they recorded this large seismic event on Christmas Eve. When we compare seismic epicenter with location that we pinpointed from the orbit and the time, we were able to match this large seismic event to our large impact crater. This is by far the largest jointly observed crater recorded seismically and observed from the image from the orbit.
So to reiterate, the question was, when had this crater been formed? And as you said, a look at the daily Mars color imager pictures showed that the impact's blast zone was there and allowed the team to pin down a 24-hour period within which the impact had occurred.
As ball light travels through the Mars atmosphere, it creates a muck cone. And as a result of it, you see dust perturb on the left of the crater. A lot happens as the meteoroid strikes Mars. Rock gets fractured. There is atmospheric blast. Ejecta gets thrown out. Crater gets excavated. and effect of that dynamic all got preserved in the Martian surface, and we captured it in our CTX image. We see the crater itself at about 150 meters in diameter. We see bright patches of ice. This is most equatorward ice we've seen on Mars. The ability to tell what happened, when, and what activity occurred, along with the largest impact crater, are two huge discoveries and demonstrates the value, increased value, that joint work of two missions brings.
So these observations, correlated with the seismic epicenter detected by InSight, conclusively demonstrating that a meteoroid impact caused the large December the 24th Mars quake. The next thing was to point the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter's high-resolution science experiment camera at the new crater. This camera is a half-meter diameter reflecting telescope, the largest ever carried on a deep space mission. From an altitude of 300 kilometers, it can see objects as small as 30 centimeters. What was revealed was utterly astonishing.
My name is Ingrid Daubar. I'm on the team for the HiRISE camera, which is another camera orbiting Mars on MRO. HiRISE is a high-resolution color stereo camera that lets us see things as small as a desk on Mars. I also help lead the IMPACTS working group on the InSight mission. HiRISE and CTX have been showing us new craters, as Lilia said, forming on Mars for a while now. So we were hopeful we could detect some of these with the InSight mission. We want to study impacts with InSight because they can tell us not just about the craters themselves and the cratering process, but also about the interior and the atmosphere of Mars. Sources with a known location and size can help calibrate all of the other data we've gotten from InSight, all those quakes where we don't know the exact epicenter. After 3 years of listening, we thought impacts probably have to be either very close to the lander or very large to be detected seismically. We recently found four small impacts close to InSight, but we never thought we'd see anything this big. So we were super excited to hear about this discovery by Lilia and her team and have the chance to study it in more detail with HiRISE. From this HiRISE image, it was immediately clear that this is the biggest new crater we'd ever seen. It's about 500 feet wide, about two city blocks across. And even though meteoroids are hitting the planet all the time, this crater is more than 10 times larger than the typical new craters we see forming on Mars. We thought a crater this size might form somewhere on the planet once every few decades, maybe once a generation. So it was very exciting to be able to witness this event. And to be lucky enough to it happened while InSight was recording seismic data, that was a real scientific gift. For comparison, the Mars quake this crater caused was a magnitude 4 quake, which on Earth is big enough to be felt, but not big enough to cause a ton of damage. About 1,000 or so quakes of this size happen on the Earth every year. But Mars is less tectonically active than the Earth, so for Mars, this was a pretty big one. Most exciting of all, we saw clearly in the high-resolution images that a whole lot of water ice had been exposed by this impact. Boulder-sized chunks of ice in the crater's ejecta, as well as splotches of ice thrown across the landscape outside the crater. This was surprising because this is the warmest spot on Mars, the closest to the equator we've ever seen water ice. So scientists are going to be able to use this to constrain the past climate conditions on Mars, when and how this ice was deposited, buried, and preserved up until now. This is a huge opportunity to study a really large impact event from both the orbit and the ground, a reminder of how privileged we are to have multiple missions studying Mars at the same time. It's been really exciting and fruitful to be part of these two projects working together.
Southern FM.
The sounds of the Bayside.
This is the Space Show, where we are discussing InSight and its amazing discovery. The new crater is 150 meters in diameter and 21 meters deep. Now, some of the ejecta was thrown 37 kilometers away. Now, this is believed to be one of the largest craters ever witnessed forming any place in the solar system. Boulder-sized blocks of water ice can be seen around the rim of the crater, showing that the Amazonas Planitia region of Mars has lots of water ice just below its red, dusty surface.
just want to speak for a moment about the importance of the discovery of ice, you know, just below the surface. This is really an exciting result. We know, of course, that there's water ice near the poles on Mars, but in planning for future human exploration of Mars, we'd want to land the astronauts as near to the equator as possible. And having access to ice at these lower latitudes, that ice could be converted into water, oxygen, or hydrogen. That could be really useful.
This was a big surprise because this is the closest to the equator that we've seen ice exposed in an impact. However, there have been a number of other of these, all these other impacts that we found, much smaller and closer to the poles, that have also exposed water ice. Before this, I think the closest one was a few degrees north of this, so it wasn't totally out of range of what might be expected, but it was still very surprising. Of course, this crater is so much bigger than all the other ones we've seen, and it excavated so much deeper that we're getting down deeper in the shallow subsurface. And then your other question was about, how long the ice lasts. Yeah, so we do see evidence of sublimation of ice that's been exposed in this way when we use HiRISE to take images over and over again to monitor the sites. And we can actually see the ice disappearing in most cases. And it doesn't last long. It's not actually stable at the surface at these locations. This one, again, it's fairly new, but we have seen some evidence of that happening, but I don't think it's really been studied in detail yet.
And what caused this event? The meteoroid is estimated to have spanned somewhere between 5 and 12 meters. Had it hit the Earth, it would have burned up in our atmosphere. Now, the Martian atmosphere is only 0.5% of Earth's, and so the meteorite survived.
So InSight, what an amazingly successful mission where we've learned so much about Mars's crust, the interior, and more. Sadly, we're likely nearing the end of the InSight mission, but what an awesome capstone science result to end on. I mean, literally going out with a bang. The observation of the December 24 impact by the InSight seismometer, as well as the orbital imaging, is really exciting, not just for gathering important new information that will refine our understanding of the crustal structure, but for other really important science as well. As you heard, it's the largest impact crater seen on Mars since we've been observing and watching. Asteroids are found throughout the solar system, and they play a really important role in planetary surface processes. So these observations are going to help contribute to that knowledge. To give a little context on this particular asteroid, the expected size range of the object that created the crater, was likely between about 5 and 12 meters across. And, you know, asteroids of that size actually enter Earth's atmosphere on the order of about once a year. We see those pretty regularly. But because Earth has a thicker atmosphere, asteroids of this size burn up and are generally pretty harmless.
As Lilia Posilova commented, I couldn't help but imagine what it must have been like to witness the impact, the atmospheric blast, and debris ejected miles downrange. Well, as you've just heard, meteorite impacts on Mars are common, with about 200 impacts per year. It's just that the December 24 impact was a whopper. The meteor hit at supersonic speed. Now, the InSight science team reports that the Martian crust beneath the lander on Elysium Planitia is 39 plus or minus 8 kilometers thick. The December 24 impact occurred 3,532 kilometers from InSight, and the seismic wave traveled at 3.2 kilometers per second for most of that distance. However, near InSight, the seismic waves slowed down. This indicates that the rock near InSight is less dense than that near Amazonas, because sound travels faster through denser rock than lighter rock. Another thing, the InSight seismometer detected an additional signal arrive about 75 minutes after the main impact signal. Now, this is consistent with that expected for a wave that propagated in the opposite direction around Mars. Interestingly, this opposite wave could have crossed the Halley's impact basin in the southern hemisphere at a velocity of between 4 and 4.5 kilometers per second. The crustal thickness in Halley's is as low as a few kilometers.
Surface waves were something that we had anticipated using in our data analysis from the very beginning of our planning. We thought we were going to use surface waves to locate quakes, use the surface waves to probe the structure of the crust, the upper few tens of kilometers of the planet. But for the first 3 years of the mission, we saw no surface waves. And we believe that that's because the Mars quakes are a little bit deeper than we had anticipated. And so the surface waves aren't really developed large enough to be able to detect with our seismometer. So now that we do have surface waves, it's already telling us a lot of really interesting stuff about Mars. The nice thing about surface waves is they tell you about the crust, not just where the lander is sitting, but they look at the crust as they're moving across the planet. So the whole path between the event, in this case, the impact, and InSight is sampled by these surface waves as they move across the planet. And so we have an idea of what the crust is over this fairly long path. It's about 3,500 kilometers for one of these events, and almost 7,500 kilometers for the other one. And we find that the crust is different. Again, the InSight landing site is a little bit unusual, or at least different than the pathway that these surface waves took. And so we found that the crust under InSight has a layer about 10 kilometers deep that is a little bit lower velocity, lower density than what's indicated by the surface waves. So surface waves are telling us about the crust, not just at our one point, but over a wide area on Mars. The other thing that is great about the surface waves is that they help us to refine our location, refine our seismically determined location. And we find that by incorporating that with the body waves, the P and the S waves, that helps us again to zero in on the location in which the impact is found.
Now, the atmosphere of Mars is very dusty, and horizontal surfaces soon get covered in a reddish-brown coating. If that surface is a solar panel, then the efficiency decreases as sunlight is blocked. In the 4 years that the InSight lander has been operating, the two petal-shaped panels have taken on the same color as the Martian surface. This has been made worse by a continent-sized dust storm which has recently swirled over Mars's southern hemisphere, although, fortunately, not directly over InSight. In early October, the thickness of the dusty haze in the Martian atmosphere around InSight had increased by 40%. With less sunlight reaching the lander's panels, daily energy production fell from 425 watt-hours to just 275 watt-hours. This has forced the project team to reduce the operation of the seismometer to 24 hours every other Martian day. With so little sunlight reaching the panels, there is not enough energy to completely charge the battery every day.
Unfortunately, since this is such a large dust storm, it's actually put a lot of dust up into the atmosphere, and it has cut down the amount of sunlight reaching the solar panels by quite a bit. We went from about 400 watt-hours per sol, which is the units that we measure the spacecraft power in, down to less than 300. We had to cut off the seismometer for a few weeks. We are now operating the seismometer again, only one day out of four at this point to conserve our power. But even in that, at that relatively small amount of use, the batteries are still slowly being depleted. And so what we believe is in the next short amount of time, perhaps somewhere between 4 and 8 weeks as best we can predict, we expect the lander to not have enough power to operate any longer, and we'll lose contact with the spacecraft. So that's a sad thing to contemplate, But InSight has been working marvelously for the last 4 years. We've gone well beyond the intended lifetime of this the mission, which was 2 years. We've been collecting data, and even now, as we're winding down, we're still getting these amazing new results.
At the current rate of discharge, the lander would be able to operate only for several weeks. In early October, the mission controllers decided to turn off InSight's seismometer for 2 weeks in the hope of nursing the craft into the coming winter. On October the 22nd, the seismometer was again switched on. The latest estimate is that the mission will end sometime in December.
So I'd like to tell you a little bit about the spacecraft status on Mars. As you probably know, as InSight's been sitting on the surface of Mars for the last 4 years, it's been collecting a lot of dust on its solar panels, really, really dusty, and that's cut down our solar power, and we've been sort of cutting back on the operations of the spacecraft as that's happened in order to squeeze out as much science data as we can. About a month ago, we got an additional challenge to the spacecraft. This is a global mosaic of Mars. It was taken over the course of a day, and it shows a large dust storm in the southern hemisphere that started kicking up about a month ago. Fortunately, that dust storm did not move over InSight itself, and so that was really fortunate, because if it had passed over the spacecraft, it would have darkened the solar panels, and we probably would have lost the spacecraft.
You've heard that the power production on InSight has been dropping, that the mission will likely end sometime in the coming, 4 to 8 weeks, in the next couple of months. This mission has been a really big success in the 4 years it's been operating. I want to take a moment to acknowledge this incredible team that has met many challenges along the way. They've met the challenges of the soil of Mars not cooperating, and the challenges of trying to deploy the mole with the heat probe, challenges of waiting for those quakes, those first quakes, and waiting for the data to really start delivering what we were looking for. And of course, the dust accumulation and the valiant attempts by the team to extend the lifetime of the mission by cleaning some of that dust off the solar arrays.
Well, there's been a lot of things that surprised us, actually. It would have been a pretty boring mission if we didn't get surprised. We were surprised at first by how quiet Mars seemed to be in terms of seismic activity. It was 3 months before we actually even saw an earthquake, and that was my fingernails were getting pretty short by the end of those 3 months, because we were really depending on getting Mars quakes. Once we started getting Mars quakes, we realized that what we'd done is we'd landed in the windy part of the year, and so all the Mars quakes were getting covered up by the wind. And so that was a big relief. The next big surprise was the issues with the mole. We were surprised by the properties of the Martian soil. It was unlike the properties of the soil that we had seen previously at the Viking landing sites, at Spirit and Opportunity and Curiosity. InSight landed in a spot where the soil was a little bit different than what we expected, and that made it impossible for our mole to penetrate. So that was an unpleasant surprise, but scientifically it was actually very interesting, because that showed that Mars was a lot more varied than we had thought before. Finally, some of the results from our seismic experiment, the results of the deep interior, surprised us. The core appears to be quite a bit larger than we had imagined. We thought it was going to be about 1,700 kilometers or so, and it was actually over 1,800 kilometers in radius. And that has some really important implications for the evolution of the planet Mars itself. And so that's a big surprise, one that we haven't actually been able to incorporate into our theories yet. And so this impact was sort of the latest in a long series of surprises that we've had over the mission.
And NASA will declare the InSight mission over when the lander misses two consecutive communication sessions with the spacecraft orbiting Mars. Those orbiters act as relays to send InSight's data onto Earth. So to conclude this report, let's hear again the sound of those Mars quakes caused by that December the 24th crater-forming impact.